the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face?
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
It's time to get into it with our guy, Groats. He joins us now here on the Spiegel and Holmes show. Hey, Groats, this is a pretty great place for the Bears to be as they go into their bye, 4-2.
I was just thinking, Lawrence, I can't remember the last time that the Chicago Bears arrived at their off week, their bye week, as you said, and we all weren't saying things like, man, do we need this? We all need a break from the Bears. That is not the case this time around. I think the bye is good for the team in terms of getting themselves healthy and all of that, but in terms of what we do and what the people listening do, be Bears fans, I can't wait. October 27th is way too long a ways at this point because you just want to keep seeing more. 35 points this week, 36 points last week. It's coming together. I don't know if it's there yet. Like, I'm not ready to just say, yep, that's it. Caleb Williams, he is him. He is going to blast off. I don't know if this is the blast off point. It's going to come. I don't know if this is it, but it really feels good. And I am anxious to see more and to get back into that Bears locker room.
One of the reasons that it does feel like we're here is because of the progress, the step-by-step progress. Like, it was chaos for a while, then they got the running game going. How about the stat that Kurt Warner had during the broadcast yesterday that on the routes closest to the line of scrimmage, the Bears and Caleb Williams are getting 27% more yards than the expected yards, according to Next Gen Stats. Folks, that is hitting your layups. That is the definition of that colloquialism, which we've all gotten so accustomed to in dreaming of a quarterback growing. Caleb got that part of it going. Then he went down the field. Now yesterday, he's going into the intermediate. He can go anywhere he wants to go now because the running game and the layups are getting hit, Groats.
Yeah, and I guess that's where we do have to give Shane Waldron some credit. I heard you guys discussing the scripted plays, and I agree that it's kind of strange that the players had to go to the coach to get that right, and we could talk about that more if you'd like. But on the overall, I guess, since they started to adjust and maybe script more and make things more concise and easy for Caleb Williams, things have looked good. So let's hear from Matt Eberflus on specifically what he is saying about the Shane Waldron play calling from yesterday's Bears win over Jacksonville.
I like the fact that, we got some explosives in there. We stayed committed to the run game, so we stayed committed that way. That's an important thing to have balance, in this league, because you can't become one dimensional one way or the other. And I also think that, the explosive plays and some creativity, the creative play with Cole up the middle, I think that was really, really creative. I do like the way they responded to adversity when we got the penalty for two guys moving third and five, goes to third and I think it was third and nine, I believe, at the time. And then the play call there was really good relative to where we were on the field. So a lot of good things going there. He's got a good flow going. The offensive staff is really doing a good job of helping provide a lot of those ideas in the execution piece with their positions. And I thought he called a really good game yesterday.
I don't disagree with that in terms of Waldron's day. I thought he had a very good day, but it all feels of one with the unit. Shane said before the meeting, Shane, who did you say was offensive coordinator? Kmet or Mercedes? You said, but it's like, it's all of them, right? It's
I said Cole created that game for Caleb.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cole being what he is. But I feel like the entire offensive personnel is deserves partial credit for the offensive coordination.
And it's weird because that's, in a perfect world, that's what it looks like. Right? Like, I think we put
so much into this person is a guru, this person's playbook, this person knows how to call a game. Well, if you don't live in a space where the people who are doing the job can say to you, we need to change this, that's bad. Like, that's a bad way to direct a team and an offense.
You think Mahomes and Kelce don't tell Andy Reid what they need and what they want to do?
Right. And I think that he's like, oh, okay, great. Let's do, you see it every week. They do something weird every week. Travis Kelce is out there lateraling whenever he wants in football games. Like, that's a trust that's been built up with the coach and the player. This segment with Mark Grody is sponsored by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. It's also brought to you by Plumbers 911 Plumbing Emergency. Call the plumbing professionals 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. Groats, I don't know if there's a better example of this being a players-type team, and it hasn't gone overboard, in my opinion. It's been just right.
Yeah, I mean, and it seems like I don't know if you want to call them criticisms or, you know, the adjustments, all the things that we have heard expressed from the player side have been put into motion, so to speak, by the Bears coaching staff and has led to better things. I mean, I think one of the things, too, was, and this is just a little bit off of what you're saying, is how about, you know, I think maybe low-key, the most important, well, not low-key because he had two touchdowns, Keenan Allen getting involved. I can't express how important that was to get that man involved and to make him dangerous. Like, he's dangerous just by being on the field, but nobody wants Keenan Allen to just be a decoy. And at times he will be. Mm-hmm. At times DJ Moore will be as well. But all of these guys, what they have put on tape, they have had a dominant game by Roma Dunze earlier this year, a dominant game by DJ Moore last week. And yesterday, I don't know if you call it dominant, but a strong two-touchdown, well-targeted game for Keenan Allen.
And Cole Kmet.
And then throw in Cole Kmet just for the hell of it,
yes,
as well. And just, I mean, that is what makes you dangerous. So now they look at all, like, whoever is going to take on the Bears, they're going to look at these games and say, oh, man, like, each week, I mean, it could not be working out better,
hey,
in that regard. You just want these guys each week. You want one of these dudes to be featured. And look out for one of these weeks, too, where a couple of these guys have 100 yard games, because that's coming too.
DeAndre Swift with his most productive game as a Bear yesterday. I'm telling you, it's like, it's the vision from a few weeks ago, boys, when Dan Dierdorf would watch the Steve Young or the Joe Montana Niners and go, so many weapons on this San Francisco team. And you'd be like, yeah, he's right. Because it could be John Taylor, it could be Rice, or it could be Brent Jones, or it could be Rathman, or it could be Roger Craig. When the offense is run well and is well designed and the quarterback knows what he's doing, everybody's a weapon. Yeah, good luck, Commanders, in your game planning. Absolutely.
Yeah, amen. I mean, the Bears are going to have their hands full in that game, too. And I'll tell you what, too, Speaks, I'll take 17 carries and 91 yards from DeAndre Swift every week. I'll take that every. It doesn't have to be 100. Like, 17 carries, 91 yards, and productive running between the tackles. Like, these are things that the way the season started, it did look like Swift was capable of. I'll take 4 carries and 56 yards from Caleb Williams at times in the game, and it didn't end well for Roshon Johnson as far as the running numbers were concerned, but there were times that he looked dangerous as well.
How about Roshon?
The running game,
the third down catch where he bats it to himself after Caleb with a little sky hook to get it over the lineman, and Roshon bats it to himself. That was a huge play on a check down.
Yeah, so you've got all of these guys, even the bit players like Roshon Johnson, you know, making themselves known at different times in the game. It's okay if Roshon Johnson is not a big part of things for a quarter. If DeAndre Swift picks it up, or Khalil Herbert, or whomever you are putting in there, it's nice to see, and hopefully, you know, I mean, we're trying to keep as much perspective as possible. Hopefully that is sustainable. And, you know, I should point out, too, Caleb Williams, there's got to be a little bit of what my cynicism.
No, I'm sorry. A texter said, on the scale of feedback to the offensive coordinator, it seems way nicer and more collaborative than Jay Cutler to Mike Martz.
Martz I said bleep you.
Yep.
You, not even direct. That's so perfect. perfect. For those, anybody who doesn't remember, caught on tape, Jay Cutler.
Is that a Monday night?
Yeah, I think it was a Monday
night.
It was definitely a nighttime island game, yeah. And somebody was calling in a play to Cutler. It wasn't Martz. Like, I don't know whether they just couldn't talk to each other or there was an intermediary or whatever, but he said, "Tell Martz I said F you." That's his own. There it is. Dude, that happened. That is such a good callback. That is a very different reality than what we're living through. That's amazing.
I've always believed that Jay Cutler probably got calls from quarterbacks all over the league saying, "Dude, that was awesome. I wish I could do the same thing with my offensive coordinator." Because you know,
and one of them was probably Kurt Warner.
Yeah, baby.
We'll find out tomorrow. Kurt Warner on tomorrow after some travel from the UK. Okay.
So
4 p.m.
Groats, let's talk about the offensive line. Is it settled now or what?
Well, that is a good question, and it was a question of mine to Matt Eberflus. We'll also hear a follow-up in regards to Nate Davis. All of your offensive line questions, I believe we got them all in. Here is Matt Eberflus.
Matt, have you been encouraged enough with what you have seen from the offensive line in the last couple of weeks? Or when Ryan Bates does return, does he go right back in?
No, I've been encouraged with the guys that have been in there. And again, it's always going to be, you know, it's a long season. It's always going to be, hey, we're going to have slides of different guys in there during the course, you know, of this season. But I do like where it's been the last few weeks. It's been firm. It's been good. And the protection's been nice, you know, in terms of that. The continuity has been good too. So, you know, we'll see where it is when guys come back, you know, and where guys are going forward. We'll always put the best five we have out there for that particular week. But yeah, I've been pleased with it for sure.
Why was Nate Davis a healthy scratch yesterday?
Yeah, because we felt that going with eight for us provided what we needed for the game. And we were okay with doing that. And again, I got to just give Nate, you know, a lot of credit here. He's been a pro's pro. He's done a really good job of staying engaged, working every week. And again, we're going to need all these players, you know, and they know that they're going to have to step in there and perform like we saw yesterday with our defensive backfield. You know, so it's important that everybody stays engaged, you know, stays on it in terms of the details and preparation. But yesterday we just went with eight and we end up putting that slot somewhere else.
Is there hope that this can be motivating for him?
Like I said, you know, he's been great. He's been engaged and we're going to need him down the stretch. And it could be this week, next week, or after that. So he's done a really good job with that.
Man, it takes a lot of restraint to not say what you actually think about a dude. And Ryan Poles didn't do it last week. And now Matt Eberflus didn't do it right there because they might need him again. The happenstance.
They are doing it with their actions, though.
100%. 100%. But verbally, I mean, for him to say he's been great.
Oh, yeah.
About getting demoted and being a healthy scratch. But, you know, they might need him again. That's the way the NFL works.
Groats, what do you make of this?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Like, Matt Eberflus did not need to go out of his way to say that Nate Davis has been a professional about all of this. It feels to me like he has been the antithesis of a professional since he came to the Bears. So I think, while I understand what Matt Eberflus is doing, I do, because this man's been benched, and the only way Nate Davis is going to see the field is if there are multiple injuries and if it's an emergency. I think he went overboard by saying that. I think that players hear that too. You know, I mean, they hear, oh, that's, you're calling that guy a professional? You're protecting that guy from not wanting to be on the field essentially for 2 years? So I have a problem with some of the language that Matt Eberflus is using right there. So yeah, I just, and to say, like, it, when he's asked, is it motivating for him? And Matt Eberflus just goes back to his stock answer saying that, you know, oh, he's been great and he's doing what we ask of him. So in other words, Matt Eberflus actually better answer there by not saying he's motivated, because guess what? He's not motivated by it. Nate Davis hasn't been motivated by anything since he came to the Chicago Bears. So he's done. Like, Nate Davis is done, and he's, you know, this is a bust. This is a bust of a contract, a bust of a player, and it's time to stop protecting this guy at every single corner, unless like tomorrow they decide that they're going to waive him and he's done. And then maybe I understand some of it. Then maybe I'm like, okay, they don't need to badmouth the guy on the way out. But to me, it's just, it's ridiculous that there is any kind of protection of this guy here right now. Even going back to what he said about the offensive line and how he's encouraged by it. And some of that's my fault because I planted that in his head with the question in asking, are you encouraged by what you've seen from the offensive line? Of course, he's going to say, yes, I'm encouraged by it. But of course, they're going to take a look at things. Coleman Shelton has gotten better. Matt Pryor has been fine, but you do have Ryan Bates potentially coming back. So I do wonder what happens at the right guard spot and maybe even center. We'll see.
Well, good stuff, Groats. I there might be some personal sensitivity. Maybe there could be a personal thing that maybe he's saying it's difficult for me right now because of X or because of Y. So who knows about that? And the other thing is that maybe they'll try and trade him for a six.
Yeah.
You know, maybe there's some team out there desperate for interior line. And if the storyline is, it just didn't jibe here with what we did, but he's healthy and could really work out for you.
I don't think that it's the trade market, Spiegs. I feel like it really is. Look, from week to week, you know, whether it's Tevin Jenkins having like an ankle or, you know, from week to week, they know that it's possible that he may have to play. So you have a guy that you're trying not to lose him publicly. I agree with Groats, though, and I think what's interesting is that they did this publicly earlier in the preseason and at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, they did.
Where they were like, look, we need more.
Yeah, that didn't work.
We need more. So
need him to be available.
We need him to be available. Like the nicest way possible that Ryan Poles could have talked about the fact that, you know, that he's not getting what they need out of a guy that they went out and got. And, you know, there were a lot of concerns about him coming from anyone that you talk to in Nashville about his work ethic. And I understand the position that Matt Eberflus is in because he might have to call that guy's number again. But to me, it's more encouraging that there was action that was taken. Like, this is one of the things that Danny would always talk about. Don't tell me about the press conferences. Tell me about the
actions over words.
Right. And this is one of those things where they took action and said, okay,
yeah,
you're the fourth guard now. We'll get someone who wants to play and we'll coach them up.
Yeah, and so that gave them the opportunity to roster the fullback, Blossom game, in addition to the mini fridge. And you still saw the mini fridge. Wonder how Kari felt.
And
about
Doug Kramer was born. that's what we get out of all of what we just said. Doug Kramer is born.
Uh-huh. You guys want Mike Mart's thoughts before Grody gets off the air? Like, I feel like this is good with Grody on here.
Sure.
So I texted Mike right away. Wanted to put him on tomorrow or Wednesday, whatever. Oh, he's no longer available.
Oh, no.
He's not doing hits, but love Caleb. Chicago finally gets it right. Martz endorsing Caleb Williams. Chicago finally gets it right. Hey,
those endorsements don't come easily.
That's
from that
phenomenal.
Man.
Hey, Sean, could we get Cutler's response to? Because I imagine that would be Jay's response.
Damn,
that's right.
Mike Martz.
Mike Martz loves Caleb Williams. Yeah. He's kind of Kurt Warner-esque, so I get it.
Well, and that Jay Cutler is part of the finally. Chicago finally
gets it.
That's
right.
Why I wanted Jay's response.
No longer available. Love Caleb! Exclamation point. Oh, Chicago finally gets it right.
Wow. You know,
Mike Martz actually falls in a complicated category for past Bears offensive coordinators. He's not on the list of the terrible ones. He's on the list of, not bad. Like, didn't have the same fastball that he had maybe when he was in St. Louis because he didn't have Torrey Holt and Kurt Warner and that whole crew.
He had a pretty good crew, though.
Groats, he does fit in as an aging dinosaur who cannot adapt because he's like, I don't need a big tight end. I don't need a big, tall tight end who can block. And so he traded away Greg Olsen for a four.
Oh, man. And you brought in
Brandon Malayuna.
Yeah, because he'd rather just have that guy. He didn't want a tight end who might be able to be a downfield target as a receiver. So That was a problem.
It was kind of like a Kenny Williams move where you were getting him, but you weren't getting him in his prime, like a Ken Griffey Jr. type of signing.
Kenny always got his man.
Yeah, he got his man. May have been a little bit too late, but he always got his man.
Here's
Manny
Ramirez.
Yeah. Oh, man. Manny Ramirez was on the White Sox. That's already forgettable.
And it wasn't that long ago, relatively speaking. He was Manny Ramirez was also Starlin Castro's, I guess his personal caretaker
with
for
the
a
Cubs?
Lot of the time. Yeah, with the Cubs. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Manny Ramirez, I saw him many times in the Cubs locker room, just kind of hanging around Starlin Castro, and he would humor the media every once in a while.
Wow.
So Theo's guy.
Mm-hmm. Now he's in there with the Dodgers. He's out there with the Dodgers.
Groats.
He's out there with the Congress.
Real quick, walk us through Cole Kmet's day.
Yeah, Cole Kmet, obviously incredible on the field. The touchdown where he catches it near the end zone and he just bowls over a guy. That's like get up. That's a little something for the Grabowskis right there, running a dude over, just being all Cole Kmet. Two TDs, but obviously he got put in as the long snapper. Let's hear it from Matt Eberflus's perspective. What was going on with the injury to Scott Daly and then having to put Cole Kmet in, and why he was qualified as well? Here's Matt Eberflus.
Yeah, it was obviously it's pretty dramatic when you lose your short and long snapper. It's an important part, scoring points and obviously getting the punts off. So there was definitely a lot of talk. But in terms of your first question, he practices every Thursday. After practice, he gets with those guys for the long and short snaps, and he does a good job. You know, he's solid in there. I know that's he's always concerned that he has to do that. And thankfully, yesterday we didn't punt again, you know, after the injury, so we were good. He was good. He was good in there, and my hat's off to him. And he had a really good game yesterday, you know, in terms of his connections, 5 for 5, 2 touchdowns, you know. But him being able to do that as well was instrumental in the victory.
He had an Arby's day, and our guy Roger Bennett would have been very happy to have someone have an Arby's-type day. Groats, as always, we appreciate you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Real quick, Kyler Gordon, imaging done on his hamstring this morning, so hopefully that will come out okay. The great thing about all these injuries, Jaquan Brisker, Tyreek Stevenson, and the long stopper, Scott Daly, this is the advantage with that extra week before the Bears play again. Sunday, October 27th, Bears and Washington. Talk to you guys later.
Thanks, Groats. Speaks, would you like to hear a 3-word answer of what Cole Kmet's day was like?
Yes.
I got it for you next here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
To Williams, his left. Let's throw into the end zone. There's Kmet doing it all here in London. Easy pitch and catch. And again, he's now the backup long snapper. The Bears lost their long snapper in the first quarter on a punt. Nice snap. There is no I in Kmet, but there is a me.
Well,
two touchdowns, two long snaps, and a 2-score lead for the Chicago Bears.
He's thinking, let me celebrate, though. I don't want to snap it.
It's hard to celebrate your 2 touchdowns when you have to immediately line up and get the short snap down for the extra point.
Have we documented? This has never been done before, right?
I can't imagine that this would ever have been done before.
It used to be that regular players were also kickers. So, like, George Blanda would throw a touchdown pass. I think he was the last one to throw a touchdown pass and then kick the extra point. Did that a bunch. But the specialist, like, I don't remember Trey Junkin or Patrick Manley ever getting a touchdown, to my knowledge.
Look, all I'll say is, and I know that I am going to unwake some bad moments here for Bears fans. I was covering the team when this happened to Des Clark. When Des Clark had a long snap.
Totally forgot that.
And he was terrified of it, as Cole Kmet was. And then it didn't turn out as well as Des would have hoped that it turned out. It's a really important thing that you don't think about until you have to think about it.
I totally forgot that.
And Cole Kmet did a phenomenal job in that role. He was incredible. Because you're not expecting to do that. And in fact, we got the text from Cole for a 3-word answer on what it was like for him to be in that moment. Those 3 words are forgotten, parenthetically, until you don't have one, precise, uncomfortable.
forgotten.
Yeah, because the backup snapper.
You never think about that.
You never. That's why you had that moment on the sideline with him.
Oh, it's amazing. Cole Kmet talked about the moment on the sideline, among other things. Talked about his dad teaching him to be a long snapper, telling him to be so, and then the moment on the sideline you're talking about.
Someone found out that I did it in high school. These guys know everything about you. So they found out I did it in high school. My uncle did it. And I remember my dad, you know, just me and my brother would be messing around doing it in the backyard all the time. And it was just kind of like a more you can do thing. And, you know, thinking like if you ever needed to make a team, if you're a guy that's, you know, the 54 or 55 guy and they're deciding between two guys that, you know, having that ability, they're going to keep you on the roster for those type of things. And, you know, obviously I'm not in that position right now, but that was kind of the mindset of learning how to do it. And, you know, I wanted to play in the NFL one day, and that was kind of the thing behind it. And paid off today, I guess. So I was glad that I could just help out where I could.
Were you watching you play when Scott got hurt? Where, like, what was your perspective? Did someone tell you, hey, he's done?
Well, yeah, I didn't know. HT came up to me and said, hey, Scott's hurt. And I'm like, Tyler Scott's hurt? Like, what? And he's like telling me, and I'm like, okay, like, why does that affect me? He's like, you need to get some snaps in. And I'm like, oh, like, I got to go snap right now. So that's kind of how that went down. And then immediately started firing snaps between my legs. And thankfully didn't have to do any punt scenarios. I'm pretty sure we had that, like, fourth and four scenario before Keenan caught that ball. And I was like, this is usually a punt and pin situation. But I'm sure Coach was like, let's try and get the first down here. And that's kind of what happened.
Oh, it's such a delight, dude. It's like the third catcher on a baseball team. Like, Schwarber's got to be ready. You never know when we're going to need that third catcher. I mean, it's not quite as bad as, like, the emergency goalie for a hockey team, which could technically be anybody in the stadium. You remember that, where, like, they call up to the press box?
That's still a thing. Yeah.
They call up to the press box and, like, oh, that guy, he's up there, but it's time for you to come down and play goalie because we need a third goalie.
Yep.
It's like one of the strangest rules in all of sports.
It's a very strange rule
to have. Yeah, it's a strange thing. But, like, for Cole to be able to step up in that moment and do it, it's just an awesome team sports thing.
Yeah. To go right to, I've got to snap the ball.
First time I ever saw Kenny Mayne on SportsCenter, I thought he was a producer. Because it was like, I remember being a kid and I watched Kenny Mayne, and he had this, like, deadpan style, and his shirt didn't really fit that well. And I was like, oh my God, the SportsCenter host didn't show up, and so they asked this producer to go on and do his thing.
Kenny Mayne was Randall Cunningham's backup?
I think you're right. Yeah, at UNLV.
I think that's right.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. But that was like, so I was trying to think of the broadcasting comp of, like, somebody's got to go on. You never know. Got to be ready.
It's true. Like, it's happened, like, in, like, White Sox games or whatever. Like, I've seen that happen where, like, all of a sudden someone go get Connor McKnight. You know, like, that sort of thing.
Sure.
It happens.
Call a game.
Has it happened where have you been in the building and they're like, Speaks, come on in here?
No, not yet. Not yet. I should just go to the building all the time, just in case.
Why not?
Just to play it safe.
Would you like to hear a center's point of view on this?
I would. Not a long snapper, but a center.
We have both. We actually do. Olin Krutz on Mully and Haw talked about how remarkable this was to have Cole Kmet doing what he was doing.
I heard you guys say about Cole Kmet's dad told him, right?
Yeah.
Cole Kmet, man. Cole Kmet, now that anyway, we could rave about him after yesterday's game, right? Fun football player to watch. His dad told him that, you know, what else would you do? And I thought to myself, man, construction, right? If I got a long snap, I'll just be a construction worker. Not for me, David. Like, I just was never interested in long snapping, right? Like, people have told me that. I've heard that before, right? Oh, the more you can do, you better learn how to long snap. I said, look, if center doesn't work out, I'll be on the road, right? Painting the lines, laying the hot tar down, sweating, waiting for my beer on a Friday afternoon.
You'd be a great construction worker, but you'd be...
No, I would. Trust me, I would have been great at drinking beers after and telling everybody how great I was in high school at football, and I would have made it if not for a certain injury, right? I always hear that. Holden, man, my career was derailed. David, why didn't you make it out of Ball State at cornerback? You had some injury, right?
Yeah, but yeah, I had a bad... I was slow. I had a bad hammy.
No, you are not slow, man. Man, the way you can process information, I can see you coming downhill like Mike Brown, lining everybody up, getting to the ball. Except 19, whatever the year that was, 89, Fresno State was a tough game at the end of the year.
Oh, man, you have a memory. Do you have a memory? Like an elephant. All right. I just wondered if the shotgun snap being what it is, a little bit further back to the holder or to the punter, why more guys don't try?
Pat Manley will make you think it's easy. Patrick Manley, now one of the best ever, right?
Yeah.
Credit Cole Kmet for learning that skill, because it is not an easy thing to do. Credit him for honing it, keeping it so he can do it, and helping his football team and being a team player. Because I will tell you, the answer to your question is very simple. The reason more guys don't do it is because it's not an easy thing to do.
Good answer.
And you know, Olin, Pat, they did not have to punt after that. So I wonder if the punting snap is different. And Pat said that the couple of the snaps were a little bit high. Cairo Santos said that he should be the special teams player of the week for filling in and doing that.
Yeah. Listen, you guys remember Pat used to snap the ball for a moving car and all those things that you should do. I mean, Pat was, these questions are for him. He was an extremely good long snapper. Just to answer your question, I maybe tried it once or twice, and I was like, man, if I don't make it playing offensive line, I have to find something else to do. And I wasn't going to be a doctor, and I wasn't going to be a lawyer, so you do the math.
Olin, you're the best. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
That is Olin Cruz. That's hysterical.
That is tremendous.
And for people who don't know or don't realize this, David Hall was a starting safety at Ball State.
In the MAC starting safety.
Against Matt Eberflus. Like, they played against each other, so his nickname, because you know Eberflus gives everyone a nickname, he just calls him Ball State. Hey, Ball State. It's somewhere in the vault. It's him calling David that during a press conference, where he's like, right, Ball State? So
I'm glad to get Cole Kmet confirming that Richard Hightower is indeed HT. Do we think that when Eberflus called him H-Mac that one time, it's just a mistake, right? It's just a flat-out Eberflub.
I still don't think so. He went to MacArthur High School in Georgia, and he also played for Mac Brown. I think there's something there to the Mac.
It doesn't.
And he got the MacArthur grant.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he always gets a hamburger with three pieces of bread.
Loves mac and cheese.
Yes.
Here's Richard Hightower, H-Mac. Hey, Tori, how you doing, man?
It doesn't make any sense at all, man.
It really doesn't.
I think he just messed up.
I think it's there.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
I think you just screwed up.
But it's fine. We need to talk more about the quarterback, because we haven't talked about the quarterback in a little bit. He was great, not just on the field, but after the game was over, too. In the assessment of his play.
Yeah, right away. Immediately.
We need to share that with you, and we will next. It's Spiegel and Holmes here on The Score.
Why does that affect me? He's like, you need to get some snaps in. And I'm like, oh, like, I got to go snap right now.
Spiegel and Holmes.
First of all, congratulations. You know, it's nice to have a couple new faces at The Score and not just kidding.
Afternoons on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes show. We are here with you until 6 o'clock. Jalen Johnson is going to join us in the next segment. We'll ask him about the fit yesterday. We'll ask him about the game and the win and them having a bye and everyone's back and happy. I think Rome won the look yesterday with his Peaky Blinders thing that he had going on. I think he was the best dressed yesterday.
That's what DJ said about his, too. So I think several of the wideouts decided to go Peaky Blinders together. DJ had like an umbrella or something.
I mean, that coat that Caleb was wearing was fabulous. Like, that coat probably cost more than what we made. It was that fabulous.
Someone put on Twitter yesterday that he was looking like Lori Lightfoot, and I just died.
No.
Someone said that Caleb looked like Lori Lightfoot yesterday, and I was like, damn.
No, his pants fit.
I mean, they fit for like what the fashion is now,
yeah.
But they definitely looked like Lori's pants a little bit. No, he was looking a little Lori Lightfoot.
They would have had to been dragging underneath his shoe for it to be Lori Lightfoot's pants.
Hey, man.
That's going to be a caller soon.
That's not the mayor in the news.
Hey, I'm Lori Lightfoot's pants. Caller from Sauganash.
Lori Lightfoot's pants.
Caller from Sauganash. Go Bears.
Oh, man. Lori Lightfoot, by the way. Lawrence, you remember all those like kind of nouveau funk bands in the 90s that played at the Elbow Room over there on Lincoln Avenue?
Hard to get your stuff into the Elbow Room.
The worst load in and load out in history, but a great vibe in there. I played in there many a time. Lori Lightfoot played trumpet in a band there.
Is that right?
100%. She was in like a nouveau funk 90s band that used to play at the Elbow Room.
Those are the things that she needed.
She needs to lean in on that.
Well, no, she should go back and do that. Well, and do trumpet. Have to speak.
You sound like a program director I had once.
Yeah.
You like to
Lori,
sing.
Come on. Play trumpet.
No, different one.
No.
Go sing.
You
go
like singing? That. Do that.
Yeah. You'll never do this. How's he doing? So anyway, Caleb Williams, after the game, and this is even before he gets to the podium, and he does the post game at the podium, and eventually he's asked about the interception. Listen to how quickly it comes up. In the post game interview with Stacey Dales on NFL Network in full uniform, and listen to the overall humility and everything that this kid talks about in this 2 minutes here.
Caleb Williams, it was a monster performance from you, an international rookie record, 4 touchdowns. How did that feel for you?
Yeah, it felt great. I think obviously, you know, we got to keep getting better. I can't turn the ball over like that in a wide open touchdown to DJ. You know, a few things that were going on throughout the game, you know, that I got to be better at. But I think the progress that we've had is going to keep growing. I think we have great leaders and a great personality to this team that I've talked about many times, and so I think all that's going to keep growing. I think we got to keep going.
I knew you were just going to mention the interception. Forget about that. Yeah. The Wi-Fi, right? Yep. You said if you could get Keenan going, get Rome going a little bit, be 5G.
Yeah.
Did it rest at 5G for you?
Yeah, it rested at 5G today. Like DJ talked about, you know, when we get everybody going, Cole with a couple more touchdowns and Keenan with 2 today. DJ was right there. You know, a bunch of guys just, you know, contributing throughout the whole game. And then obviously the offensive line being able to do what they do and getting better throughout the game, understanding, you know, always love for the big guys and, you know, how they protect us. So we wouldn't have this type of game without them.
Everybody's going nuts. Cole gets 2 touchdowns in the first half. He's a long snapper.
Yeah, Cole.
What was your reaction?
Cole's unbelievable. That was after he scored his touchdown. That was the first thing that we came to the sideline and celebrated about was him snapping the ball. Because obviously those points, at, you know, those 1 points and things like that, they go a long way in games like this. You know, he did a great job, obviously, playing tight end and catching the ball, blocking. But being able to go out there and snap the ball for our holder and kicker to be able to put it through was amazing.
You get the bye next week. But, Caleb, what have you learned most about yourself in this offense through now? You're 4-2.
Yeah, you got to keep going. There's going to be times throughout the game, you know, where there's plays that you don't like, plays that you messed up on, like today. But you know, to keep going, have the positive mindset, stay a constant communicator throughout the whole team, office coordinator, everybody, you know, and have, like I said, that positive mindset goes a long way for our guys.
Enjoy the win.
Awesome. Thank you. Go Bears.
Enjoy the win once you can stop thinking about the damn interception. It's beautiful.
But it's okay because these are all things that he'll spend some time obsessing about it. So hopefully it doesn't happen again or it happens very rarely. You know, like
it's not supposed to happen.
And he
knows it. And the thing is, like, and maybe you heard the cut in post game, but like he answered the question long about the interception. And then the beat reporters asked him again to double back on it, and that's when he said this.
I was a bit pissed off at myself, just because those are passes that I you know don't miss, that you don't want to miss, and do something like that. I was a bit pissed off after that, and I think resetting myself was important, but still having that in the back of my mind, like you know, can't have that happen again, and let's go out here and go score.
That's the second question on it. Dude has thrown for almost 700 yards over the last 3 games, a quarterback rating of 120 plus.
Not QBR, but
quarterback rating of over 120. He's thrown 7 touchdowns, and he can't stop thinking about the interception. That's how he rolls.
That's good. Those are all very, very good things for the quarterback. We are going to get a bird's eye view of what went on in London. We are going to talk about how the defense smothered Jacksonville. Yet again, another great performance by the Bears defense by one of its best players. Jalen Johnson is going to join us. Don't go anywhere. You don't want to miss it. 5 o'clock on Mondays, this is where you want to be. He's next here on The Score.